Hey, hello everybody. It's the Lighthouse London podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Tom.
And today we are talking about how to get meaningful feedback from a prototype for It Is Prototype Month.
It certainly is.
Here at Lighthouse.
It is.
We're prototyping everything from new footwear through to new ways of typing on a keyboard.
Oh, really? How's that one going?
It's a disaster.
Getting meaningful feedback from that? Don't do this.
Nothing. Everything's taking twice as long, but we're learning so much. No. We're just having a bit of a chat about prototyping in general. The blog is going to be full of prototyping goodness.
Well, last week, we just put up our video about the prototype sprint, which is a little service that we as Lighthouse offer. We are lighthouse.com/blog if you want to go and check that out.
Absolutely. It's come out very well.
Oh, that's lovely. Very nice. I think you look quite dashing in it.
Yeah, and quite grey. Edit that. Thanks to Threefold Films.
Yep.
Our friends there, Tom and Graham, did a sterling job.
Quality guys.
Absolutely.
Even brought a Steadicam, which is quite exciting.
Yeah, that was amazing. I felt like I was in a proper film.
Yeah.
Enough banter.
Let's
Never enough banter. We all know that. But let's get on with chatting about prototyping.
Well, yeah, so this assumes that you've come to Lighthouse London.
Mm-hmm.
You've done a prototype. We've put something together for you. It's amazing.
Well, or you've made your own.
And you've now got a prototype that you want to... Well, it doesn't say they're doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
What's it for?
Yeah, well, it's for testing.
And learning. Exactly. That's what I was fishing for there.
Testing and learning. And what do you need to test and learn?
A prototype?
No, customers.
Customers, damn.
Dear me. What we wanted to chat about today is that bit that we don't do for people. Well, we've done it sometimes,
Well, sometimes,
right?
but usually that's down to the entrepreneur, founder, business owner, whatever you want to call them.
I think it's vital it's down to them, yeah. Really, because... You know, we can show people how to test with an end user, but mm-hmm. ultimately, if you're going to run a business that relies on customers, if you're at all being innovative or trying yep. something new out, you've got to get good at learning from customers. So making the prototypes just the first half of it, using the prototype to get feedback is the... it's the main crux for it, really. It's almost more important because, you know, you can use a prototype of varying different qualities, and if you can get... a lot of feedback out of not a lot of prototype,
mm-hmm.
then you win.
Well, and it's all about you getting inside your customer's head, isn't it? So why have someone else doing that when you're the one that needs to learn what your customer wants? So you've got to be the one out there talking to that person.
Agreed. I think the key things to talk about here are who you should be testing it with.
Yeah.
What does the test look like? What sort of questions should you be asking?
Completely.
And then... what do you do with all that delicious feedback?
Yum, yum, yum.
Opinion. So, first off, who should you be testing it with?
Well, I'll tell you what, who should you not be testing it with?
Yeah, okay. You should not be testing it with anyone who's going to be biased.
Yep, and that means your mum and dad, your mates, people who are kind of supporting you on your business journey. Anyone who's an acquaintance, really.
Unless those people are customers, but even then, I'd say someone that was compromised that much would not.
There'll always be a level of bias there, but this needs to be ideally, or many of these people should be strangers.
Yes, completely. There should be people who really don't care about you or your business, but have the problem that your business is trying to solve.
Definitely. Where'd you get these people? Where do you find them?
Well, you've got to get creative.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to have to find customers eventually.
Yep.
So it's the same rules apply. You know, if you're thinking of, if it's a sort of a niche thing and there's, forums online, that yep. wouldn't be a bad place.
Yep.
Somewhere where people hang out physically is better.
If I was making something for a sporting startup, I'd go to the gym or wherever, or the sports hall where people are playing there, and I'd just grab a few people and ask them some questions.
I mean, it does take a little bit of bravery, I think.
Oh, totally. I think it's not easy to do that. It's quite hard to walk out in the street and just grab someone and say, whip out your phone and start showing them a prototype. But it's, I guess it's something you get good at once you've done it, or get less embarrassed by once you've done it a couple of times.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what not to do. Very similar scenario to my GCSE geography project where I had to go...
And that was a disaster.
Well, wait. Where I had to go and ask people about what they thought about the split car park in Beckenham Safeways, right. Which dates it.
Yeah.
Because that's now a Lidl. and, yeah, you know, I'm a fairly confident person, don't mind talking to people... But I went out on the high street with that questionnaire and just did not want to do it. It's a different type of confidence required. So I went and sat and made up all the answers. So actually, I proved my hypothesis pretty nicely, thank you. Got not too bad a mark in that little bad boy.
I'm going to let the school know immediately and your results should be stricken from the records.
I think it showed initiative. But yeah, you don't want to do that. You can't be lying to yourself about whether or not people like your product. You need to find customers, incentivize them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absolutely. You don't need a lot either. That's the thing. I think.
Yeah, you need to ask a few, but I think people would be surprised that you don't need to ask hundreds of people this stuff. You need to get a good section of people.
Yeah, classic 80-20 rule. You know, you'll learn 80% of the problems from talking to 20% of the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. You know, I would suggest if you can get five, that's a start, you know.
That's a good start, yeah.
And it's so infinitely better than zero that, you know, you really will start learning. I mean, when we do our prototype sprint, that's the kind of number we're telling people to go out and test it with.
Yeah.
So I've met my customers somewhere. What sort of things should I be asking them?
Well, I think it's important to not pitch to them immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to launch in and say, this is our idea, we're thinking this, we're thinking that, this will do that, this will do this. You've already sort of guessed what their problems are, and you've hypothesized what the solutions might be, and you've made a prototype. But really, you want them to tell you that you're correct. I'd always recommend that you should just ask them a couple of generic questions about this industry, this sector, whatever it is, and just let them talk to start with.
Yeah. So let's imagine it was something like Uber before Uber existed.
Yeah, totally.
So you turn up at a taxi rank, maybe.
Yeah, and say you're having problems getting a cab.
Yeah.
And they'd say, yeah, I am. And you'd say, well, tell me about that.
Yeah.
You don't then whip out your prototype and say, does this solve your problem? You ask them to tell you what their problem is and ways they've tried to solve it themselves.
Completely. And when you show the prototype, I think, depending on what the prototype looks like, of course, you know, how finessed it is, I think it's good to stay quite vague, like don't prompt people too much. You don't want people forming opinions because they know how this thing was created. You know, if people think it was created in 5 minutes, they're going to think it's not too important what they say to you about it. And actually, you want it to be important. You know, you want it to be as if this was a real thing. So staying vague about the fact it's a prototype, what exactly they're looking at, you really just want to, like you say, stop and listen to what their response to it is.
Totally, yeah.
Then dig them out of any holes if they completely don't get it. You know, that's something you want to have tested. Okay, no one understood the first page of the prototype.
Yeah.
Start prompting them. But really, it's a very similar thing to how you conduct a usability session. I mean, obviously, that is also something your average person probably hasn't done. But
no, it's a life skill that most people know, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm doing them all the time. It's very, very annoying. It's very similar to that in that you just want to ask open-ended questions. You know, the more you can get them talking, the better.
If you find you're speaking more than them, then something's gone wrong, you know?
Completely. I think there's some really good books on, or at least little bits of books on how to do this kind of user research. I think we can stick a few of them in the show notes. The usability one that sticks out is It's Not Rocket Science by Steve Krug. That's a really good practical guide to how to talk to people and elicit, you know, information out of them when they're using something. So yeah, so don't be too prescriptive with your questions. You know, set a scene, show them it, and then let it run its course. You're not going to get too much of people's time, so make sure that you do find out the things that your big assumptions are.
Yeah, you need to set your goals of what you're trying to learn for each session or each person. And then if they're veering off course wildly to that and you find what they're saying isn't useful, then you've got to prompt them to get back onto it without too much help.
Mm.
But you need to have a checklist of what it is you're trying to get. Otherwise, you'll just flail aimlessly in this conversation.
There's probably a couple of things, aren't there? There's probably a couple of main points, like, you know, do do you have this problem? You know, would that feature be something that presumably would work
there's,
you?
There's stuff in the prototype that you know hasn't been solved yet.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of grey areas that you really need to get to.
And what you're looking for as well is, when you're asking these questions, is just for someone to look at your prototype and fill in the spaces with their imagination. Because that, you know, if you have a, you know, often we'll do this when we're creating our prototypes. You hint at features that you don't actually build out. So you have a add button or a, you know, a kind of like more info button next to a certain feature, and it doesn't go anywhere in the prototype. But you can ask people, if people notice it and say, "Oh, okay, I click that. What's behind that?" You know, rather than say anything, just say, "Well, what do you think's behind?" And you learn what in their mind would make sense behind that, which in turn is pretty much nailed on what they want to see there.
Yeah, completely. You've spent no time designing that page, thinking about that flow, or you might have done, mm-hmm. but having, if every user says the same thing, you know exactly what you've got to build, and then you can just go ahead and do it.
So the key points there are, you know, remain vague, don't steer them too much.
Mm-hmm.
Know what you want to find out, though, so that if coming near the end they really haven't got it anywhere near it at all,
yeah,
you can still elicit that last piece of learning out by saying, okay, this is what it is in this scenario, would this feature be helpful?
Yeah.
Or do you think about this problem in a different way? Because that's really important to make sure that you do learn as much as possible. But it's just, I think half the time you learn the stuff you're not expecting to learn. So that's why you've got to stay open-ended on it. You know, the things you, I think a lot of time we prototype and people say, well, what am I going to learn? And the answer to that is, well, I don't really know. You know, that you're going to learn what you don't know yet about this thing, which is sometimes hard for people to justify doing. But once they've done it, those surprise things are,
that's what it's all about,
it.
Isn't it? You know, you don't want a prototype to be something highly developed. It needs to be something that's got a lot of questions behind it that you can just start asking. Because at this stage, you know, there's a lot you don't know and you've got to find all that out.
Yeah, if you prototype and test and learn nothing, then your process was flawed.
Yeah.
It's not that there's nothing to learn about your idea.
You've asked the wrong questions, or you're not listening, or who knows what it could be. There could be many reasons why that's happened.
Too certain that the idea is going to work. That's normally the problem is, you know, I don't need to test this, it's going to work.
But, and sometimes we put stuff in there that we feel is wrong, you know, in the prototype, because it's just testing that thing. You know, there's been very little time gone into actually getting this stuff in front of someone, so you'll put something in that you're really unsure about and make sure to point that out, and then people will be like, no, that's rubbish.
Yeah,
but that's great feedback, you know, much better than building that and then finding out it was useless.
And so you've done this,
mm-hmm.
you've got a notepad full of notes
or
recordings
or
whatever permission they've given you to document them.
Mm-hmm.
What should you do with that feedback? Go away and change everything. Put in all the features they asked for, and change everything to what all of them said, so they're all happy.
That's what you do, yeah.
Launch.
Completely. Launch, press the button, go.
And then build it.
Done. £1 million.
Yeah, make £1 million. Absolutely. Well, it depends who they were, right?
Yeah.
If you do think one of them's got £1 million and they ask for it to be a certain way, then
do
you
that.
Know, yeah. Ask them. Invoice them and then do that. But no, generally, I think one thing we see a lot is you will find out that things about your idea aren't quite what people want, or people want something slightly different.
Yep.
The thing, you know, don't panic about that. You don't need to blindly follow this feedback. It's the same as feedback from users across every aspect of product design. You've got to treat it more, you can't treat them as individual things. It's more, I think someone gave the metaphor, it's more like a kind of river,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of get in the river and let it flow past you and start understanding which way it's flowing, how strong it's flowing. You know, the feedback's got to be taken as a whole. It can prompt new ideas, but if you're, you know, people will ask for things that they don't actually want. You've got to dig.
You've
got to scratch below the surface and try and work out why they've asked for that.
People don't always know exactly what they want. I suppose the more people you speak to, and again, it doesn't need to be loads and loads and loads, but if they're all saying the same thing, you've got to take note of that.
Of course.
But if a couple drop in something, then that's something you should then be exploring later on. So keep it all in mind, keep it in the back of your head, and bring that up when you have an opportunity to do so. but don't just react on everything that everyone says.
No.
Because it's a nightmare to do that. You'll never keep track of it.
You never keep track of it, and you'll never focus, you know. Mm. Someone asking for a feature doesn't, you know, people give feedback for all sorts of reasons, and it doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to then make your product win. It's your job to feed that learning back into the product in a useful way. You've got to use your knowledge of the customer and dig below the surface. And if you could, and it's hard, it's not easy to dig below the surface. You know, it's not always obvious. It's not an exact science. Perhaps that's what your next round of prototyping will try mm-hmm. and prove, whether or not that specific thing should go in or not.
Yeah, definitely. That's the thing. You can go around again on a prototype easily enough. You know, make some changes to it. That won't take much time at all. Get out there and ask another 5 or 10 people.
I mean, iterate.
Yeah, definitely.
I believe the term learning loops was trademarked in a podcast earlier this year.
It might have been, yeah.
It was.
Good.
It was. I'm just using it again there. I don't have to pay any royalties because it was me that trademarked it.
So. Right. Okay. Wow.
And no one else has used it yet. As far as I know, if you do hear of anyone using it, please, please let me know.
Maybe we should buy learningloops.com. And
I daren't look at whether or not it's available, because if it isn't, then I might be suddenly countersued.
Wow.
I feel that's pretty much covered how you should go about gathering feedback.
Scratch the surface for sure, but there's some good advice there. Another book that we should mention is The Mum Test, which I believe we have talked about before. That is
I thought
about.
It was sexist.
It's not sexist.
It turned out not to be.
It's just sexy.
It's sexy advice.
It is. I mean, you need to read that if you're doing this kind of thing. It's full of information to do with interviewing people, from this kind of stuff, and goes into much more detail than we have now, to many other hints and tips that you really can't do without if mm-hmm. you're going through any of this kind of process at all.
Also, again, another book that we've covered before covers this stage as well, is Running Lean,
mm-hmm.
And that value proposition design as well. That, you know, these are, I think at this point, you know, when we're doing this, these couple of months, we're talking about starting ideas, prototyping ideas, I think those books are very influential in how you should go about doing that, and really practical. You know, they're not just kind of like, oh, how does an expert do it, or my tales from my amazing career researching, you know, getting feedback from prototypes. They're actual like bullet pointed lists, how to do these interviews, where to find people, what the conditions should be, just practical stuff.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, they've helped us loads.
The Mum Test one is nice because it admits that you're not going to be great at this to start with.
Mm.
So it knows that, like, when you first get out there and interview a stranger in the street, you're going to do a pretty bad job of it. And the guy says, I did that myself. So,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's realistic to expect that you're going to get better at this over time. And there's some really good advice in those books about where to start and how to start honing your skills.
Absolutely. I'm always grabbing them the night before doing anything like this and cramming before pretending to be an expert in,
absolutely.
In these subjects.
Just that reminds me of GCSEs, definitely. Anyway, links to all of them in the show notes.
Absolutely. Potentially a download of my GCSE project.
Yeah, we'll PDF that up. Get that online.
If you want to know why that split car park led to Safeway's downfall.
And an A star.
I think they gave me an A star. I think I was a little less understood than that. I'll find out what I got. I can't remember right now.
I would like to point out that I got an A star for geography at GCSE, and maybe I don't think I did much work either, to be honest.
We're not into nerd bashing. We celebrate intelligence, so well done for that, Tom.
Yeah, natural talent.
Cool. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Music by Encompass Sound. All links in the show notes. So you can also keep checking out our blog. There's going to be lots on prototyping this month. Check out last month's to tell you how to start with an idea.
Yeah, new ideas and how to get going with your new business venture.
There's a theme building as well.
Mm.
Next month's could be about what to do after you've prototyped.
It is going to be about that.
It is going to be about that. Yeah. Well, we know that. I was just adding a bit of tension to for the listener.
Wow. Suspense.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Suspense rather than tension.
So
I know you're not tense right now. You can put it's relaxing this.
Oh yeah, after hearing us, you must be super relaxed.
Super relaxed. Get out of that deep bath.
Yeah.
And go and prototype.
What's the thing called where you get in a something tank?
Isolation tank.
Isolation tank. Yeah.
With our podcast.
Best enjoyed in an isolation tank. A Lighthouse London podcast.
Absolutely.
But next month will be MVPs, that kind of bag, and things based around an actual product going online,
that
finding
works.
Customers that works, that's been prototyped, that's been researched. It's going to be blinding.
It is going to be great. So until then, check out the blog.
wearelighthouse.com/blog.
Tweet at us at We Are Lighthouse. Get on the Facebooks. And we'll see you in any of those places.
We certainly will.
See you then.
See ya.